The Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are in the middle of a series where we're talking about the elements, the core elements of our faith, the fundamentals, the basics of our faith. And there's nothing more core to our faith than the Trinity. I mean, the Trinity is the core of the core. And last week we started talking about the Trinity. We started with God the Father. And we talked as Walt gave a great review there that we talked about God's love. There's a lot of things that we could talk about, but everything really centers around love with him. And so that's what we spent our time on last week as we talked about God the Father as that core part of our faith. And next week we're going to be talking about the Son, who was the Christ, who died for us and opened up the door for salvation. So the natural road there to talk about the core of Jesus's part of the Trinity is our salvation, but not just our salvation, but that we are facing a day of judgment, every one of us, both believers and non-believers, and that eternity is a real thing, and that's part of the core of what we believe as Christians. So we're going to be talking about that next week. And so this week's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and just as I mentioned last week about God, there are many different subjects that we could have picked to talk about God, with God the Father. When we talk about God the Holy Spirit, wow. I mean, there are many, many, many different things that we could focus on today. I mean, last week we touched on how the Holy Spirit is active in the renewing and rebirth of our souls as he's washing us clean, renewing us. We could talk about how he lives inside of us, how he speaks to us, how he convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment, how he leads us, how he empowers us, how he encourages us, how he strengthens us, how he moves us, how he gives us hope and peace, how he is a counselor, how he is a helper, how he helps us to pray when we don't know what to pray for or how to pray, how he seals us for the day of redemption, that he confirms in us that we are God's children. I mean, there's a lot of different, and that's just a small part of the list of things. The Holy Spirit is busy. He is busy. He's got a work ethic like no other. He's busy in our lives and in many, many different ways. Today we're just going to focus on one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. And that function has to do with another core of our faith. So we're kind of putting two, this is a 2-for, you know, a 2-for-1 special today. You came on a good Sunday. But another part of the core of our faith is the Bible. That's a core of our faith. And so we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And that should be, yep, there we go. That's at the top of your bulletins. And so we're taking two core elements today, because the Holy Spirit had involvement in the Bible, a whole lot of involvement. You know, there have been, there are, and there always will be attacks on the Bible. They'll come from honest skeptics. They'll come from enemies of the gospel. And they'll say all sorts of different things. They'll say that because there is human involvement, that the Bible cannot be trusted, that it was written by many different people, and since it was written by different people, each of those people, they had different agendas, and so they kind of took their own twist, their own turn on things, and so it can't be trusted because of that. It has contradictions throughout it, and so because of these conflictions in the Bible, then it can't be trusted. They'll say that it's been translated by humans, and because it's been translated by humans into different languages from the original, that there are errors there. And for as many scholarly attacks as I've heard and read myself, there are an equal number and just as deep and just as thick, and there's a point where my intellect just shuts off and I can't keep up with some of these guys. And you might be able to go a little further. You might not be able to get, you know, wherever we are. But there's an equal amount of refutes and what are called apologetics of our Bible and how it is the trusted word of God. I'm not going to go down those roads today. I'm going to kind of be an easy road to go down and give us some things to think about, but I'm going to make an assumption here today as we get started into this message, I'm going to assume that most of us here are Bible-believing people. In fact, most of us here are Bible-believing Christians. We've given our life to God. We believe the Bible so much that we put our faith in Him, and we trusted Him enough to say, I am going to give you everything, and I'm yours. So I'm going to go on that assumption, that most of us are here today because you came because you love God, you trust God, you believe in God, you came to worship Him with the family together as one body. You came to listen to His word and to be challenged and to move forward in your faith, to step up. You came today because you have a relationship with God, and I'm going to assume that most of us here believe that the Bible is true. So we're going to look just at one element, and that is, what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit's involvement in the Bible? And there are places that talk about other places. And it's pretty interesting once you start digging, and that's going to be kind of the intellectual meat of our time today. And it'll be kind of a fun little road to go down, maybe a different road than some of these other arguments you've heard on different things. So let's start with the Old Testament, because that's where the Bible starts. You know, we start in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, and let's go with a very obvious one. The Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets and the prophecies of the Old Testament. The prophets and the prophecies would be powerless if they were not from God. I mean, that was the whole idea of a prophecy, that these guys were sharing God's thoughts, that they were sharing what God had shared with them to share with God's people, that they were speaking God's very words. Now, we find this in the New Testament where Peter talks about the prophets and the prophecies. He says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was active and interactive, but it wasn't until the New Testament that Jesus introduced us to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us as Christians. So the Old Testament, the credit that the Holy Spirit gets for Old Testament passages is given in the New Testament, where they understand, oh, this is where it came. This is how they knew that these were the words of God. This was what, and Peter says there's no prophecy. There's no prophet. There's no prophecy in the Scriptures, which at that time he was referring to the Old Testament. There was no prophecy that did not come from God, that those prophets were not carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were not just moved. They were not just prodded by the Holy Spirit, but it was the Holy Spirit that provided them the access to gain the understanding of God's words. You see the difference there? It wasn't just an inspiration inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them God's words, and God's words were what the prophets spoke. Otherwise, their prophecies wouldn't be worth anything. Their prophecies were words of God. The movement of the Holy Spirit in their life brought those words of God to them. In the book of Acts, in chapter 28, so we had Peter talks about this. Paul talks about this in chapter 28 of Acts. He credits the Holy Spirit with speaking through Isaiah. He says, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet. And then Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Then the writer of Hebrews, so possibly another writer. Some people think that Paul wrote Hebrews, but that's okay. Could be Paul, could be another writer. The writer of Hebrews, she says, that the Holy Spirit was speaking through Jeremiah in chapter 10, verse 15. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, and then he goes on to quote Jeremiah 31, verse 33. So we have Peter and Paul and the writer of Hebrews, three New Testament writers, two apostles, and one probably. And they are all agreeing that the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. So if we just look at the books of prophecy in the Old Testament, just the books of prophecy, there are 5 major prophets and there are 12 minor prophets. So right there, 17 out of the 39 books of the Old Testament that are credited with the Holy Spirit not just inspiring, not just motivating, but being active in producing those books and producing the words that were given to those the writers of those books. And then beyond that, you've got prophecies that are found in other books. You've got, like, for instance, in the Psalms, in the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, there's 150 Psalms. Biggest book in the Old Testament. Biggest book by volume. It's the biggest. Does that make sense? Biggest. It's most chapters, and it takes up the most space. There we go. So that's what I mean by biggest in volume. So it's the biggest book in the Old Testament. And it's not necessarily a book of prophecy. You wouldn't include it in the five major prophets or the 12 minor prophets. The book of Psalms is considered poetry. There are three different styles of writing in the Old Testament, and that is the prophecy, and there's poetry, and then there's history. And so we go to this book of poetry, the biggest book of poetry. And here's what Peter says about David in the first chapter of Acts. He says, in those days, Luke recording about what Peter says. So if you want to throw that in here, Luke's also agreeing with this. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers and sisters, the scriptures had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David. Very, very, I mean, you can't be clearer than that. He's crediting David with carrying the words of the Holy Spirit. He says, this is what we're happening, what's going on today. And he's talking about the prophecy of Judas and what happened with Judas. And he's saying this came through the Holy Spirit through the Psalms that David wrote. And so he goes on to quote Psalm 69 and Psalm 109. So I didn't finish reading that, but fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. So, and he quotes two different Psalm chapters there, two passages from two different chapters in the book of Psalms. And then the writer of Hebrews also credits the Holy Spirit with speaking through David in the Psalms in a different place. He says, so as the Holy Spirit says, full credit, he doesn't even quote where it comes from. He just says, here's what the Holy Spirit says. And he says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. Yet he keeps on going and he quotes a passage from Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11, which is kind of interesting because that's where they're the same verses number-wise. So if you're a number person, those are always fun to make little connections there. But the Hebrews writer continues this understanding that David was speaking. He was writing the words that the Holy Spirit gave to him. And you know, the Hebrews writer, they completely bypassed that it was David. So as the Holy Spirit says, later it'll get into talking about how David and where it came from, but his initial understanding of this passage from Psalm 95, the writer of Hebrews isn't saying this came, the Holy Spirit inspired, the Holy Spirit brought, the Holy Spirit, you know, motivated. The Holy Spirit said this. David happened to be the man to record it. Now, it might feel like I'm splitting hairs, but to me it's kind of a big hair. The difference between being inspired by the Holy Spirit and actually having the words of God brought to us. They're not from humans. They're from the Holy Spirit. And the New Testament speaks very clear about that. And there's no wonder that Peter and the writer of Hebrews got this idea that David was speaking or that the Holy Spirit was speaking through David, because Jesus, before either of these two mentioned that, Jesus himself mentions this. In Mark 12, 35 through 36, it says, while Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself speaking by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying, here's another, and this is yet a fourth reference in the book of Psalms. Jesus quotes Psalm 110 when he continues on with that passage in Mark 12. So Jesus says, David was speaking by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that spoke these words. And David just happened to be the human that the Holy Spirit brought them through. So you've got, once again, three New Testament writers. You've got Peter, New Testament persons. You've got Peter and the Hebrews writer, and then Jesus himself giving the Holy Spirit credit for speaking through David in four different places through the book of Psalms. Psalm 69, Psalm 95, Psalm 109, and Psalm 110. So we can write this down. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit spoke through David in the Psalms. And as I said, that's the biggest book of the Old Testament. That's the biggest book of poetry. There are five books of poetry. And the Psalms is the largest book of the book of poetry. And so if we add that to our 17 major and minor prophets, then we've got 18 books, and we've got nearly half the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit is specifically given credit, at least, you know, parts of the Psalms, but I have a difficult time saying, well, these are the only places where he spoke, and that'll be tied in a little more as we look at one of the more universal verses about the Holy Spirit's involvement in Scripture. But he spoke through these various human authors, human mouths, human pens. There's prophecy, there's poetry, and then there's history, these three different styles. So we've had it show up in the prophecy, we've had it show up in the main book of the poetry, the largest book of the section of poetry. And then we also have it show up in the writings of history, which is pretty interesting. There are representations of the Holy Spirit in the book of history, or one specific note that the Hebrews writer makes. Hebrews chapter 9, it says, but only the high priest, and he's describing what happened. This is from Leviticus chapter 16, and it's talking about the tabernacle and how things were arranged and what went on there. And so the Hebrews writer goes back and he refers to all these different things. It comes straight from Leviticus 16. And he says, only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people, for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. Without getting into a big teaching moment on Hebrews chapter 9, the gist here is that even in the recording of history, the Hebrews writer recognizes and gives credit to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to teach. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's an amazing teacher. And even in the book of, in one of the books of history, in the book of the law, the Leviticus, so it's law and history there together, even in that, even through the object placements in the tabernacle and then and the rituals of the tabernacle, the Holy Spirit, as this Hebrew writer quotes here, that the Holy Spirit was teaching through this. He was showing through these things. The Holy Spirit was active in teaching even through the history. To let us know, here's why God arranged things this way. Here's why God did things the way he did. So we have a book of history, so we can write this down, at least from that. That in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit used the history of the Old Covenant to teach. We have one illustration very specifically of that. But there are many places in the Old Testament where the Old Testament is teaching us. And if the Holy Spirit was responsible for that teaching in Leviticus 16, would it not make sense that he would be responsible for the other teaching, since that's his nature, that's what he does? And here we have little glimpses where we've got specifics, the prophets, we've got specifics, these four different passages in Psalms. We've got a specific, this one reference to Leviticus 16, which represents a book of history. And we see scattered through that these very specific notes from the New Testament writers. And not just one, but multiple New Testament writers and Jesus. That the Holy Spirit was active, not just inspiring, not just motivating, not just kind of prodding and moving them along. He was the voice of these passages. And David just happened to be the human that the Holy Spirit was speaking through. Or the, you know, a lot of people believe that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And so if Leviticus was written through Moses, that Moses, who also was credited as being a prophet, so he would fall under the second Peter passage we talked about how no prophecy in the Old Testament and in Scripture happened on their own. So anyway, that can get kind of a little convoluted. I want to try and keep it simple. But Moses, who would also fit in the prophet side of things, who wrote the law, the Holy Spirit was teaching through what Moses brought there. So Moses wasn't the one bringing it. It was the Holy Spirit bringing it to teach us and show us the things of God. Moses just happened to be the pen. Just like when he went up to get the Ten Commandments. It was God's finger that wrote on the tablets. Moses was just the man that brought it down. And that's a representation of really all that we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We're going to look at that in just a moment. Of how the Holy Spirit was active in bringing that and in being the voice of these passages. And in it, I was talking to my wife the other day and I was like, I've got this concept I feel like God's laid on my heart, and I really hope it just comes out Sunday morning, because on paper it was kind of a little fuzzy. And I was like, you know, I hope this communicates, because you can write something and it makes sense when you're writing it, especially when you're the one writing it and it makes sense to you. But there's some weight of this that I'm hoping to transfer, to bring out that there's a difference between accepting that the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit and accepting that the Holy Spirit, that the Bible are the words of God, that it is the Holy Spirit speaking, and we kind of bypass all the human side of things. And I think that's a big, big, big deal. And I don't know how to convey that aside from just sheer emotion of this is a big deal. New Testament. Let's take a couple look at some of the things there. Make sure I'm good on those. Yeah, okay, I had just a little section here before we touch on that. Just that, you know, some of these, what we're talking about today, these are not apologetics. These arguments, I would not expect them to fly with a skeptic. I would not expect them to fly with an enemy of the church. Now, I've talked to people who flat out don't believe in the Bible, and they want, you know, they want some different type of evidence. But as I preface this morning, I'm talking to Christians, at least the most of you. And we believe that the Bible is true. We believe there's a faith element there. It's a core of our faith. Our faith, that's the word we use. It's our faith. It's our belief. And so to argue against the skeptic, to argue against an enemy of God, I don't expect them to believe this. I don't expect where the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit speaking through David or speaking through Moses, teaching through Moses, speaking through Jeremiah or Isaiah or any of the other prophets. I don't expect that to have any weight with them. But for Christians, man, I expect that to be super weighty for us. So, conversation that Jesus has at the Last Supper, after the washing of the disciples' feet, and either during or after the Last Supper in the upper room. John captures this in John chapter 14 and the chapters following. But in John chapter 14, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. He says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Now, let's write this down and I'll unpack it a little bit for you. Right here, Jesus connects the writing of the Gospels to the work of the Holy Spirit. It might not seem that way is just a little fragment there. But if you look at the history of what happens, you have Jesus' death, burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and then the earliest time given to Mark's gospel is about 20 to 25 years after Jesus' ascension. But I tell you what, I've got pictures. One of the things I like about Facebook is that I can go back and I can know, okay, this is when we did that. So I don't remember. And it's 5 years ago. We can't remember how long we've been in our house. And we haven't been in there that long. Like, you know, because we've got a bathroom that never got finished. And so it's been unfinished for like 7 years or however long we've lived in the house. But that's just 7 years. You know, I know a different event. Yeah, I know this is our 20th year anniversary. I know that. And my wife, well, I don't want to give away her age, but anyway, she had a big birthday this year. But I know that because you have to remember that. 97, 117, yes. Okay. But some details on different things or details on conversations 10 years ago, 20 years ago, some things had impact on me and I'll remember them forever. But all the details that are in the Gospels, all of the teachings of Christ that were brought. And the book of Mark was circulated about 20 to 25 years after this happened. That's a long time. It's even longer when you look at the book of John. The book of John was written about 85 to 90. And Jesus' ascension was around 30, 33 or so. So you do the math on that. How many people here? 50 years or older? Okay, I'm not going to have you do that. Okay. 50 years. How many of us can remember something that happened 50 years? I haven't lived 50 years, so I can't even say. And Jesus, right here in John chapter 14, he says, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, will come inside of you, and he will teach you, and he will help you to remember all the things I've taught you. How in the world would they be able to write the Gospels in a way that agrees and overlaps each other? And different, you know, scholars say, well, they had this document. There was a Q document, and there's Mark, and then Matthew copied some of his, and Luke. You know, there's some of that going on in the description of the scholarly side of things. But on the spiritual side of things, it's Christians that believe that the Holy Spirit's active. I think it's very important for us to note and understand that Jesus right here is giving credit for the Gospels to the Holy Spirit, that he will help you remember these things, that these will be the words that Jesus taught. These will be the words that Jesus gave. Why? Because it's coming from the Holy Spirit, not from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. Let's talk about Paul's letters. Some people, and this is, I got to keep moving. We got some things to get to. Some of you believe that Peter and Paul had some issues, and they had some issues at one time, but there's good evidence to believe that they worked things out. And in this passage here in Peter, we see Peter supporting, and even if they did have some disagreements, that would make this argument even more potent, that Peter talks about Paul. He says, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. It's a little bitty passage, but it's Peter saying that the letters that Paul was writing and handing out to the churches, because Peter was a general letter. His went out to a general amount of people. Paul's were very specific. A lot of his were very specific to the book, the letter written to the church in Ephesus, the letter written to the church in Colossae, the letter written to Timothy or to Titus. And Peter says, our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. And then Paul connects the Holy Spirit's activity through Isaiah in the Old Testament to the teaching and wisdom that he brings, not just in his life, but the writings that he shares with the church. There's a lot of little nuggets in this. I'm just going to read it and try and hit it quick. We do, however, speak of a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of the age of this age. We are coming, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And that's a passage from Isaiah 64. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit, Paul says. So he says that the Spirit was speaking through Isaiah, another confirmation of what we've already covered. He says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we received is not the spirit of the world. What we've all received as Christians, it's not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by who? The Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. So Peter says Paul brings the words of God in his writings and his teachings. Paul says that the wisdom that I bring that's from God, it's from the Spirit living inside of me. And he's very detailed about that. That's why I didn't want to omit that. I was getting tight on time and I thought, this is a big passage. But I didn't want to omit that because that understanding, the Spirit lives inside of us. And Paul says, this is where this wisdom comes from. It's not from me. Paul's not saying I was inspired, I was motivated by the Holy Spirit. No, he's saying this wisdom, it's God's wisdom, it's God's words that I'm passing on. And what then later became scripture, which Peter and Paul, neither of them knew that Paul's letters were going to make up what we have now as our Bible. And they were speaking of what God was doing, his activity in that. So let's write this down. The Holy Spirit is credited with the teaching and wisdom found in Paul's letters. So we get back to some math stuff. That's 13. Paul wrote 13 of the books of the 27, 13 out of the 27 books of our New Testament. That's a lot. That's almost half. 14 if he wrote the book of Hebrews. There's some argument behind that. That's a good portion of the New Testament. Now you throw in the four Gospels that Jesus says, you're going to remember all the teachings that I gave you by the Holy Spirit. He's going to be active in that. So we've got the four Gospels. We've got the 13 letters from Paul, specifically notated there as far as Paul bringing the wisdom that he brought and the wisdom he brought in his writings, the letters that Peter said that he sent out, that came from God. That came from the Holy Spirit, as Paul gives credit to the Holy Spirit there. Then in the first few chapters of the book of Revelation, the last book in our New Testament, seven times, let's write this down, seven times we see this phrase, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation could not be clearer. Here's what the Spirit says to the churches. He lists seven churches that, in my understanding of Revelation, represent different personalities in the church up all through the full dispensation, I'll get into some. I love the book of Revelation, so I'll step this way and dodge a lot of conversation there. But this idea that the Holy Spirit was giving us some inspiration, or that he motivated John, or no. John went to heaven. He saw these things in this vision, and he is very clear in writing this down. This is what the Spirit says to the churches. John's not saying it at the beginning. You know, he gives himself as the author, the human author. But then once he gets into chapter 2 and 3, he wants to make it very clear, this is from the Spirit. So church, we have a book. We have a book that's been given to us by God, that has been spoken to us by the Holy Spirit through various authors, and these are all little specific, some of them large groups, some of them little specific places, but I can't look at that and say, these are only the places where the Holy Spirit spoke. That doesn't make sense. Especially when you read when Paul tells Timothy in this next verse here, all scripture, and this is a pretty blanket statement, but I'm hoping this one little verse that we've all heard many times means a whole lot more after you see all the intricate pieces that we've talked about so far. All scripture is God-breathed. It came from God's mouth. It is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So let's write that down. All scripture is God-breathed. So when I see these specific places in Scripture where the Holy Spirit is credited as bringing that these are the words of the Holy Spirit, and then I read what Paul tells Timothy, this is not some vague statement that Paul's making. It's a very real and a very true statement, and a statement that we just can't go to church on Sunday and read this and go, you know what, the Bible's a really nice book. It's I'm glad God left that here for us. You know, some of these arguments that I mentioned earlier, that's not things that we need to be focused on. And there are answers, there are things you can dig into, and I know there are people that are gifted in that, and they're good at that, and we need those type people. But Christians, as far as our core goes, we believe that God gave to us the Bible, And I believe that every one of us, at least at one point in time, and if you haven't, then today's the day to step up that belief. We believe that the Holy Spirit gave to us the Word of God, that these are the words of God, not the words of David, not the words of Moses. And I have to confess, sometimes when I'm reading through the Bible and I see the words in red, they kind of mean a little more to me sometimes because I'm like, oh, this is what Jesus said. That shouldn't be the case. When I'm reading Genesis, that's from God. When I'm reading the Psalms, that's from God. When I'm reading Joel, that's from God. When I'm reading Ephesians, it's from God. It's from God, church. And that should make a big difference. What does this mean to me? It means that God's word is the trusted truth. We're going to have a lot of things try to distract us away from that, Christians. And if the core of our faith is that I believe in the Holy Spirit, and you wouldn't believe, there have been studies about, there are a number of people who claim to be Christians that do not believe in the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that can happen. If you're a Christian, believing the Holy Spirit is a must. And if you can't believe that the Holy Spirit authored these sections in the Bible, much less the whole Bible, I don't know what you're putting your faith in. I'm not going to put my faith in a book written by men. But that the Bible is written by the Holy Spirit, and I have that in my core, then the Bible is the trusted truth. And there's nothing outside the Bible that's going to trump the Bible, that's going to go above the Bible, that's going to take the Bible's place when it comes to describing and authoring and mandating truth in my life. What is right, what is wrong, the things we should go to and the things we should not go to, the ways that we should live and the ways that we should not live, that is truth. How the earth and the universe came to be, that is truth. That there was a worldwide flood, that is truth. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth and he died for my sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day, that is truth. And you can come up with arguments however which way you want to go with different things. But really the core of it is for us Christians is that we have faith and we believe. And if we believe in the Holy Spirit and we believe the Bible, that is our truth. That is our sole source of truth. What does this mean to me? Well, if God's words is what is being brought to us through the Bible, then the Bible is very personal. Very personal. You know, what other religion, what other belief system do you have the very words of your God given to you? That's powerful. That's personal. And when you're reading your Bible, you know, whether or not it's your Bible on your phone or your tablet or your paper Bible, Bible on the computer screen, whatever, when you're reading your Bible, you're reading God's words to you. And church, that should change the way we read the Bible. Sometimes it's so easy to get stuck in the study side of things, and I enjoy that part. But we need to really understand this is God's word. These are God's words. God speaking to me. And when we open that book, no matter where you go in that book, it's personal. It is your Father speaking words to you. It's personal. And that's amazing. And the Bible is authoritative. We can't read the Bible with this knowledge and walk away from it and live however we want to live. If the Bible is God's words, if it is given to us by His Holy Spirit, if it is not by human design or human creation, but it is from God, then we must do what it says. We must read it and do it and not walk away from it and forget what we look like, as James talks about the illustration of the mirror, but to do as Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. So if we believe that this isn't just some book that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's not some special book, it's not just a book that's got great wisdom, but if we really believe this is the book of God, if it's just a book of wisdom, we have a choice to, I can use some of it or I can reject some of it, you know, I'll take this part because it's good, this other part, nah, it's not really for me. You know, any other self-help book, you know, some of the even books written by Christian authors that I've got on my shelves, I'll read some of the things they have. You know, there's some on, you know, managing your time or managing your money or different things like that, and I'll read through those, and I'll take pieces of their book, and I'll say, this applies to me, and then I'll read other pieces of their book, and I'm like, that really doesn't apply to me. You can't do that with the Bible. We can't go to it and say, this is God-authored, and I'm just going to, this part applies to me, this part, no. This is the authority. And Christians, we need to live like it is. God's word, God breathed, shown in the Old Testament, through the prophets, through the book of Psalms, through even Leviticus, the Holy Spirit's activity. Jesus crediting the Gospels with the Holy Spirit backing them, behind them. Peter saying that Paul was bringing the very words of God through the letters that he was sharing. Paul saying that this wisdom that I get from God, it's from God's Holy Spirit living inside of me. The same Spirit that gave the words to Isaiah, the prophet, is the same Spirit that Paul claims is speaking through him. As John shares in the book of Revelation, this is what the Spirit says to the churches. Church, we have very, very strong reasons to have faith and believe that God's word is what it is, that it is God-breathed, that it's trusted truth, personal, very personal, and authoritative.